We actually started with Jack getting fired up, then I got fired up, and then we're ending with you being fired up.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Hopefully everyone listened long enough to fucking hear our stupid opinions.
Episode 114 was a spicy one. All right. Episode 114 of the Fair Enough podcast. Good vibes already to start.
Great vibe.
Everybody's positive. Mike and Jack were just fucking screaming at each other a minute ago. It was really weird.
Mike's
for me.
Mike's a fucking dick.
Mike
yeah,
is a dick.
Right. Also, when I sent a text message saying you have this many minutes max, that's more so a joke, bud. I promise.
No, I knew it was.
Oh, okay. Then he butted you. I think Jack has free reign at one punch to the... one punch to your bad knee, I think.
Physical?
What the fuck
is that all about?
Well, you insulted him with the text, and then you give him a butt after.
I didn't insult anybody.
Explain what he said, Jack. Put it exactly what he said.
All right. Michael said, Bob said, I'm ready. Invites have been sent to your emails at 6:08. Michael at 6:11 says, Jack, you have max 19 minutes.
Because that's
a mom text.
Because guess what? It was at 6:30 then. Because you said, I'll be ready to roll around 6 Eastern. AKA, I gave you a half hour longer than you said.
Or shortly after. Nope.
Fair.
Now pulling up another text.
Exactly. And that's fair. And what did I say? I said, so Bob goes, I'm ready. And I said, so am I. But I'd like our younger, dumber counterpart to be there. AKA, I want you in the room, motherfucker. So.
Yeah, but weird because I said, ready to roll by 6 Eastern or shortly after. And then at 5:22, you sent a one word text. And you said, when?
Okay, that was more so me. That was me just checking up, just being like, "All right, we still on pace for 6 Eastern or shortly after."
Good points on both sides. I think that it your definition of soon thereafter. I think it stops after a half hour. So I think Mike's 19 minutes text. Wasn't warranted, but I do agree that that would be the threshold for slightly thereafter.
No, and I voiced my concern by sending just the K back. I wanted to let the whole chat know that, you know.
Yeah, you were ready.
Not up for that.
All right? I'm not happy about it.
I'm moving, but I'm not happy about it, all right? I'm going to get home when I'm going to get home. And Telegraph's a motherfucking nightmare every day.
Big time.
Well, you know what I know is that they should put you should have to be relevant. There should be a relevancy threshold on who can go to the Met Gala.
You think so?
Yeah, because I don't give a fuck how swaggy he looked. Fucking Ben Simmons shouldn't be at the Met Gala impressing anybody. He should be in a table with nobody there, and he should have to wear a white t-shirt and some slacks. He doesn't get to dress up nice.
Yeah, why? Who's he dating now? Is he dating somebody important? Is he dating Kendall Jenner? I feel like they're not dating anymore.
No, I have no idea. Last time
I thought Ben Simmons.
He was a fucking irrelevant basketball player who was supposed to be the next truth, and he is nothing but false.
He ain't. He went to LSU, and he basically went a whole season without shooting a basketball.
Nice. Dude, I thought you guys were referencing Simmons on the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, no.
Oh, Wayne Simmons?
Yeah.
I'd love to see Wayne Simmons at the Met Gala.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah.
He'd come in the fucking Flyers mascot uniform.
That's still one of the greatest quotes of all time from any, like, mic'd up thing that I've ever heard was when some team was practicing for the Winter Classic, and they had, like, a new guy starting on the team, and he was, like, a fighter, and... one of the guys on the bench was asking him about the new guy, and he was like, well, he's tough. He's not Wayne Simmons tough, but he's tough. Like, Wayne Simmons tough is like a different fucking stratosphere, which is just sick.
Most stuff.
We do have some things to talk about today other than internal beef. We have the NFL schedules have been released as you're listening to this. We are recording on Tuesday, so we don't know who's going to be our weekly opponents, but Mike and I are going to pick who we would want week one, both for the Bears and for the Lions. I have some athletes getting vacation shamed, and I want to ask you about that because I think it's kind of interesting. And then this thing that's going around today on Twitter. There is something that was said by Austin Rivers, or current NBA player?
No, former.
Former NBA player, Austin Rivers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Duke guy. He said that I can take 30 players right now from the NBA and throw them in the NFL, but you can't take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. An interesting take from Austin Rivers, so we'll dive into that a little bit. But first let's do 14s quick. Brendan Shanahan.
Oh, that's a good pull. I was thinking like Pete Rose. He's 14. Stephon
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh, Fitzy. That's a great one. So last week I got shamed by one of our listeners that I didn't say Ozzie Guillen or Joakim Noah. So I really tried to lock in today on Chicago 14s. Okay. And I got two of them. Ernie Banks of the Cubs. That was nice. I mean, that's Mr. Cub. And then Big Dick Pauly Konerko, who played for the White Sox forever, was 14. I don't know if there's a Bull or a Bear that were ever 14 or a Blackhawk either, but those two. So all my Chicago people can at least be happy with me.
Yep. Suck a dick.
Yeah.
He named him.
Joakim Noah was a good one. Yeah, Paul Kinner was there, but Joakim Noah was glaring, and I missed it. So I hand up accountability on that one.
It was a bad miss. Yeah. Not as bad as if we would have missed Datsuk, but
yeah,
Joakim Noah was a bad miss.
Yeah.
First, before we get into all this stuff, though, I have just something that I need to get off my chest because it's been killing the city of Detroit, and it's been more noticeable even in the last week than I think it has been in the last couple of years. What I am referring to is there has been a shift in Detroit sports amongst ownership where somehow, if you were to pin 2010 version of Robert Brennan down and say, at some point in your life, out of the four major sports teams in Detroit and the four owners, well, there's technically three owners, the Fords are going to be the owners that are not only putting their team in the best position to win, but care the most about winning. If you had told me that in 2010, I would have laughed you out of the fucking building. The Lions were horrible, and they were going nowhere. But now, Sheila Ford is not only changing everything that William Clay didn't do, her mom and dad didn't do, you name the people, like any Ford didn't do before her. She cares. You could see that she cares. She comes in front of the press when things are bad, and she comes in front of the press when things are good. What is happening with the other three teams is unbelievable. And the Ilitches are to blame for two of them. They're to blame for what's happening with the Red Wings. Obviously, Steve Yzerman is a part of that. But more so the Detroit Tigers. No salary cap in baseball. The Ilitches, all they have to do is open up their pocketbook and say, okay, we want to be average. Do you know how many million dollars they are below the average payroll in baseball? $60 million. They're $60 million below the average.
Is that the lowest in the league or like the A's?
It's not the lowest in the league. It's in like the late 20s. It's not good.
It's down there.
It's down there.
Damn.
And this has been the care level to me is the most like daunting part of it because you can't overcome that as a fan. You can't make your owner care. It's either they do or they don't. And that's why it was so easy to reference this towards the Lions because the Fords didn't give a shit. And then when young Sheila took over, all of a sudden, wow, it's crazy how things change when the owner gives a shit about the team. The Ilitches don't care about the Tigers. Mike cared a lot about the Tigers. Mike Ilitch. And if you're not a Detroiter, Mike Ilitch, Little Caesars God, brought all the cups to the Wings. But his baby was the Tigers, and they made a good push in the 2012 to 2014 timeframe. Even 2006, they went to the World Series before Mike died. Now that Chris has taken over, it was kind of word that, okay, Chris is like kind of more of a hockey guy than Tigers guy. We'll see what happens with the Tigers. He doesn't give two shits about the Tigers. $60 million fucking dollars under the average payroll is insane. To trot out this team with this pitching staff, a guy like Jack Flaherty throwing 50 strikeouts and four walks or some ridiculous numbers like that, the guy has two losses in his last two starts. He's given up one run in each.
Damn.
We don't have any bats. If Javi Baez was on any other team, he'd be fucking gone. He wouldn't be on the roster. But because he's in Detroit, because we have Scott Harris and Chris Ilitch playing this money ball fuckery, whatever we're trying to do, it doesn't work. It doesn't. And I'm on my Mike Valeni soapbox a little bit here. But where they are right now with the pitching staff that they have, spend $60 million. Put two bats in the lineup. Luis Arraez, whatever that guy's name is, just got traded for a fucking bag of chips. Four prospects outside of the top 100. That guy's got a batting title. Two batting titles?
Two batting titles. Yeah.
Like, how can we not plug a guy like that or even half as good of a guy like that into the lineup? And people are talking, okay, well, maybe we need to send Torque down to the minors. If you don't remember, Spencer Torkelson, number one pick a few years ago, hit nothing but dingers when he was at Arizona State. Guy couldn't hit a fucking volleyball right now. Sending him down to the minors isn't going to do shit, because who are we bringing up to replace him? I don't know. There aren't any guys on this roster. There aren't any guys in the prospect pool. This team fucking sucks, and we're wasting a hell of a lot of talent on the pitching staff. And it's all because Scott Harris is trying to be cute. Welcome to the city. It's his second year here. And by the way, his tenure with the Giants, he was there for the first year and they won a World Series, and everybody basically gave him the fucking keys to the city after that. It's like, dude, you had this team when you got here. Okay? This was a ragtag group that was put together in San Francisco. Don't get me wrong. But it's not working here in Detroit, especially when you're $60 million under the average payroll. And to top it all off, even if for some ungodly reason we wanted to watch this baseball team, we can't! Oh, no. We can't fucking watch them! Because Bally Sports is dead! They're bankrupt! Their deal got cut! We can't even fucking watch this team! And one of the guys from my station did a Twitter poll. And he said, how many people are going to add the Bally Sports app to be able to watch the Tigers? Because that's the only way you can watch now, because they've been taken off Xfinity, Bally, and the Xfinity deal died. So that's why nobody can watch. 1,700 people voted on this poll. 85% of people said, I'm not getting the Bally app to watch. So I don't know what the Tigers viewers numbers are, but they're not good right now. Nobody has interest in this team. And why should you? Why should you have interest in this team? They don't give a shit. They're not putting a product on the field that's trying to win. They are clearly telling you, fuck you. We're not trying to win right now. And that's okay. And you know who else is doing it? Tom Gores. With the Pistons, doesn't give two shits about winning. Doesn't. Whatever that fucking product is that they keep pushing out onto the court, that shit doesn't work either. And I don't know what Steve Yzerman's plan is, but the Yzer plan ain't fucking working. He's got to get his head out of his ass and start signing some guys that can actually do something. I'm tired. I'm so tired of these three franchises not giving a shit about the teams that this city used to say, okay, we know this team's going to the playoffs. It was like that for so long, especially with the Red Wings. It was like that through the 90s and early 2000s with the Pistons. But now, all of a sudden, the script has flipped, and the Fords, out of all people, are the ones that care the most about a Detroit sports team. I love you, Sheila, but it makes me fucking sick. So fuck the Tigers, fuck Scott Harris, fuck the Ilitches. I'm not buying a hot and ready until we get a bat that's hitting over 250. Is that too much to ask for?
No, sir.
But I digress.
Damn.
That's just kind of where we're at, fellas. It's unfortunate, but that's where we're at. I've been boiling, and after this four-game losing streak that the Tigers are on, and we're losing these games that the average runs that a team scores in the MLB is 4.5 runs. We have to say 10 Hail Marys to get the 3 runs.
Yeah, that's wild.
Let alone get the 4.5.
Aloe Vera be thy name.
Amen, brother.
Damn.
Amen.
What you need to do, go ahead, Jack. You turn the mic on. What do you got to say? I feel like you got something there.
No, absolutely.
Oh, okay. What you guys need to do is there needs to be herd rally fucking riot mentality like Chicago fans are, and just start running these people out of town, even if it's premature, because we do that all the time. We just run guys out of town. But
and that's the problem. People have gotten too complacent around here, and everybody's being too nice, and everybody's playing, especially Tigers fans, because no offense to the olds, but most Tigers fans are ancient. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you got to trust the process here. We haven't won a World Series since 84. A lot of teams think, oh, shit, we haven't won a World Series since 2008. And they're like, we got to get our shit together. 84? That's 40 years.
Listen, dude, I don't want to talk about a long time between championships, bud.
I know who I'm talking to here. But
I get it, though. And, you know, we ran motherfuckers out of town. It didn't matter who it was. Lou Piniella, Dustin Baker, fucking all the guys that we fucking pulled in. Shit, we even took David Ross and we ran his ass out of town recently. And now we got counsel. I mean, I love David Ross, but he was a shit manager, you know? Joe Maggio.
I like the way you put that just so casually. We ran his ass out of town recently. Nothing but a few days ago we ran his ass out of town. We do this every week.
Dude, I mean, in reality, think about it. As a Cubs fan, last year we overachieved and then we shit the bed the last, I don't know, 12 games of the year. We could have easily, like, all we had to do was win like a third of them and we would have been in the playoffs. Shit the bed. But for a guy that had very little to work with, a Cody Bellinger that you didn't know what he's going to do ends up being really good. You got a bunch of guys hurt all year. We have no bullpen. We were there. We were right there. And what did they do? They said, you know what? You did an okay job. We have a foundation now. Peace out. We're bringing in a fucking legit coach. And, you know, so, yeah, we just run. I mean, we ran Lovie Smith out of town when he went 10-6.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we did.
The only guy that Detroit has ever really run out of town. Well, I guess there's two guys. It's Jim Caldwell, which ended up not working out that great because after that we got Matt Patricia, who we also ran out of town.
That was deservingly so, though.
Oh, Matt Patricia was absolutely, him and Bob Quinn were absolutely deservedly so, because they tried to do what Scott Harris, the Tigers GM, is trying to do. They tried to play Moneyball. They tried to play smartest guy in the room all the time. It doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, it's also really hard to run management out of town and ownership, obviously. I mean, ownership's a whole different story.
Ownership's like, impossible.
Yeah, but like GMs, it's so hard to, like, I mean, it took the Bulls forever to do it. You know what I mean? It's like that the new guy sucks too. He hasn't made a fucking move in like 3 years, literally. But yeah, it's tough to run management out of town, you know, especially if they're saving, you know, your owner money, even if you stink. Like, it's like, yeah, at least we're not spending money.
But it's exhausting, man. I'm so tired of watching other teams make moves and not only the MLB, but I mean the NBA too. Holy shit. If you could, we need like put Tom Gores on a milk carton. That guy is never around. He's on a beach somewhere. We've talked about it on the podcast before. He fucking sucks, and the Pistons aren't going anywhere fast. We have a head coach that doesn't want to be there. We have two stars that don't want to be there, and nobody blames him. How could you blame him?
Yeah.
What do you want to do first? Do you want to do the NFL schedule? Do you want to do this the vacation shaming? Figure we can do the NBA players last. NBA versus NFL thing last.
Yeah, okay. Let's just go through the schedule because I don't really know. I want you kind of take the lead because I don't really know what you're expecting out of me on this one. I get it, but I'm also kind of like, I don't even know where the fuck I want to play. I didn't really do much research, so talk to me.
Well, let me frame this for you.
Okay, put it up.
So if in an ideal world, if you wanted the Bears not only to get off on the right foot in the 2024 season, but, you know, maybe you want a team where it's like, holy shit, like we can really make a name for ourselves if we come out and beat these guys. Or maybe you're like, all right, well, let's start with somebody easier. We want Caleb to kind of get his feet wet a little bit in game one. We don't want the lights and things like that. Like, would you, if you had to pick an opponent, and I'll run down your opponents for you really quick, outside of the NFC North. You ready?
Okay.
So you guys got, these are home games. You guys have the LA Rams, Seahawks, Jaguars, Titans, Panthers, Patriots. Those are home. Away games outside of the NFC North. Cardinals, on the road to the Niners, on the road to the Texans, Colts, Commanders. So if you were to start the season, say, week one, we got these guys, I feel good about it, or we really need to go get this game, this would be a big win for the boys, where would you kind of lean for the Bears? Because I have an easy one for the Lions.
So what I would want to do is get a cupcake early.
And it could be in division too, by the way.
No, I would like a cupcake. I would like a cupcake early. So I would like the Panthers at home. I feel like would be Caleb Williams' first game ever at home against a team that has literally no idea what it's doing.
Yep.
Where you can, even if you don't play good, you can win pretty sweat-free, I would say. As long as the defense shows up a little bit and you don't make astronomical mistakes, the Bears have enough on the team to beat the Panthers pretty sweat-free.
I
would like something along those lines. I don't know. And then what I would want next though is like in division, either the Packers or the Lions, not the Vikings. I'd want more one of the established teams. Maybe go like Panthers than any other team. Maybe like go to LA or something. Oh, we play LA at home. They're not going to go two home games, right? I guess they could go two back-to-back home games. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
I feel like it happens often enough.
Well, then maybe like I'd go like Panthers, Rams, because the Rams are like a good team, but really they're underwhelming as a whole, I think.
Yeah.
And then go on the road, play a tough division game against either the Lions or the Packers. Yeah. And then if you go 3-0 from there, then everything is churning properly and you're like, oh shit. Then you can bring in we can go to the Niners and this, that, and the other thing. And then you know how usually like in our division, at least it seems like, I don't know if every division is like that, usually play like a division team like twice in the last like four games. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, we played the Vikings twice in 3 weeks. I don't like that.
I don't like that either, but if it were to happen, I would want it to be the Vikings on the back end because I feel like we always get fucked and do it with the Packers. I swear we always play the Packers twice at the end of the year, and it's just devastating. But, I mean, I don't know. But I think that's who I'd want. I'd want a cupcake, either the Panthers or the Cardinals, which I'm not sold that the Cardinals are going to be as bad as everyone thinks they're going to be.
I don't think so either. I think Kyler was just fine last year. So them adding Marvin Harrison, that's not going to hurt.
Yeah, so I don't think that they're as bad. And I think that other than maybe the Titans, I would say probably Panthers. Oh, the Patriots are probably
Patriots are bad.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. When you see the Patriots, you think just you always just think good, and then you're like, yeah,
you immediately. All right, yeah. They're going 12-4 or whatever they went every year with Tom.
But I also don't want to play a team that has like a fresh ass coach. Mm-hmm. Which did the Panthers sign someone new this year? Do they get a new coach?
No,
or are they still riding with the guy? Because they had like an interim last year, didn't they? At the end or no?
I don't remember. Because
they fired the dude from the Colts.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Frank Reich.
Yeah, they fired him. I don't remember them. Whatever.
Well, Matt Rhule was the coach there. Is he still the coach?
No, it was Matt Rhule. He got fired, and they signed Matt.
Oh, they got Dave Canales, the coordinator, the OC from Tampa. That's who their new head coach is. So they got a fresh head coach.
Okay, well, I'd rather take that than a guy like, I don't know, Gerard Mayo. There's history with him in the Patriots. He seemed pretty fired up about it. Like, I don't want that smoke, just in case. Just in case they come out with some crazy product. Rookie quarterback versus rookie quarterback. I don't want none of that. I want fucking the Panthers.
No, I think that's a good threat. You get Caleb Williams in there against the Panthers. That's definitely a feel-good game. And then that would be if you guys got the Rams week two. I mean, that's a playoff team.
Yeah.
They were last year. They easily could be again this year in a wild card spot. So.
A team that's like good but not like horrible, especially if it's going to be home and home, like home 2 weeks in a row. It's like, I don't want to go like Panthers Titans or, you know, or like Panthers Patriots, because it's like, oh, this false confidence. You need to see a team that's actually got legit structure behind it.
Do you want week one Panthers Bears buried at noon in the Sunday slate?
1,000%.
Okay, that's what I
just
figured.
And just because, not because of anything, for the sheer fact of like this is when we play most games. I know last year for some reason they wanted to stick the Bears on primetime. We had like 3 primetime games, but like we play noon games. Like, this is what we do. So fucking get used to playing at noon. Fucking beat the brakes off a team at noon, and then we can get into the fucking the lights whenever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that plan.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you're not going to like my plan.
You want the Bears week one?
Yeah, I want the Bears week one. And here's why. There's a couple reasons.
Tell me.
I want the Bears week one. Not only do I want the Bears week one, but I want the Bears week one Sunday night football. It's a real dick move, and you're not going to like my reason why. I want the Lions to get off on the right foot at home against not just some cupcake, but I think the Bears are a legitimate middle-of-the-road NFL team this year, and also they're in division. I want to start the year by going 1-0 in the division, and then part two of this, I want to destroy Caleb Williams' soul as early as possible. Like, I want his fucking head on a post in Ford Field immediately. I want him to, after his first NFL game playing against the Lions, to say, oh, shit, this sucks. Those guys are good. I want him to be demoralized. I don't want to, and this is a risky game, because if he comes into Ford Field and runs all over us, then we're getting Aaron Rodgers. He owns us.
Yeah.
For the next 20 years, he owns us. So it's a dangerous game to play, but I think this Lions team is good enough. And like I said, this is not a chump Bears team at all. People should be taking this Bears team very seriously. People should be taking the NFC North very seriously, because they have 3 teams that could beat anybody on any given Sunday. And then you got the Vikings with the best receiver in the league, and who knows what's going to happen there, you know? Yeah. So that's the way that I would like to see it. I want Bears Sunday night football in Ford Field. We win the game, take a 1-0 lead in the division, demoralize, and take the soul out of somebody that I think could be a real thorn in our side if we don't nip this shit in the bud or the butt. Is it bud or butt?
It's bud. B-U-D.
If we don't nip Caleb Williams in his cute ass bud right away.
I get that.
Week two.
Okay. Cupcake.
Send us to Houston. Give me all shit. The fucking smoke week two. Damn. Give me all the smoke. We'll go Sunday night, and then we'll go Monday night in Houston. Give it to me. I want it. I want it like I want fucking air to breathe.
Listen, I think personally that Houston has I think Stroud has somewhat of a sophomore slump. I think that that division is still bad enough, but dark horse of that division, I think the Colts are going to win it. No bullshit. I think
if AR-15 stays healthy.
If AR-15 stays healthy. It's, I mean, obviously, because what else, you know, but I think Stroud has a, because, I mean, he's just too big right now. And if he is that dude, he's that dude. I'm all about it. But I think he kind of comes back to life a little bit. I think the whole team isn't full yet. You know what I mean? Like, their defense is decent, but it's not great. Their run game is decent, not great. They have, obviously, now three really good receivers. But other than that, I don't know what their O-line is consistent of. Like, I just don't think they're full yet, and I think that they just went on a stretch of games where, for one, their division kind of sucked, and two, you know, CJ Stroud was showing the world. He should have been number one. But so I think that, you know, if that were the case, say you were to go and beat the Bears, then it's like if you – the hype for the game would be good against Houston, but I don't think that – I think the Lions would take care of them pretty – I think that wouldn't be too much. So,
God, I hope you're right.
But that doesn't mean that, hey, you still got to play the Jags and the Colts, you know, like, you never know. Any team can win that division, really. So maybe not the Titans, but I think that's dangerous, mucky, bad looking waters that you're fucking trying to dive into. And I understand, but I think that is danger. Just because of how well the defense played at the end of the year, that
I'm terrified.
I wouldn't want to run into the buzzsaw just in case the offense isn't clicking on everything right off the rip. That God forbid you play a top five defense week one and you score only fucking 17 points and we somehow squeak out a win in fucking Ford Field, you'd be fucking pissed.
Well, that's another part of it. Of the reason that I want Caleb Williams week one is I want Caleb Williams as raw as we can get him.
Yeah, no, I get that.
You know, even if our offense isn't totally clicking, we'll have a guy that will click. Gibbs will click, or Laporta, or Amon-Ra. Like, they have, well, Lions have so many weapons at this point. Like, somebody's got to do something.
Yeah, no, and the O-line, you know, is the offense is just that good. Where you're not wrong. I don't know though, man. I just think that everyone's gonna be really surprised on how unfazed Caleb Williams is gonna end up being as a pro. I'm getting convinced. I'm already on the wagon, but I'm convinced now that he's not gonna be that emotional crybaby bitch. He's gonna be emotional, but in a positive way as a team. I think he wants this to be his fucking home, you know? So dangerous, buddy.
I understand that there's blood in the water. I understand that if Caleb Williams beat us on Sunday Night Football with Al and, or who does the Sunday Night Football call? Tarico and Collinsworth on the call in front of America. If Caleb Williams came into Ford Field and ran all over the field, it would be a rough next few weeks for the Lions.
Yeah.
Rough. Or that would be the kick in the ass they needed. One of the two.
Yeah, I mean, shit. I don't think that. And I hate to glaze on the fucking Lions because I genuinely don't love the Lions at all. But, like, they're going to be a bend-don't-break team in any game, let alone the games that, like, they're going to win a lot of games probably by multiple scores. But I don't think they're going to lose that many games by blowout, if any at all. It's all going to be like, we threw a pick late, or we missed a stupid tackle, or there was a penalty call. Like, that's the type of team that the Lions are right now that you're like, okay.
Offense can keep them in most games.
Yeah. No, yeah, I kind of hate it. It's really annoying. I'd like to see Jared Goff just get hurt, even though I like Jared Goff. That's the problem, too, is that I don't hate Jared Goff. Like, I want to hate the guy. Like, I didn't like Aaron Rodgers. I didn't like Stafford that much. Obviously, like Brett Favre, it's like, I want to hate this dude, but I kind of never really hated him, and I kind of fucked with him in L.A., and it's like, now he's here, and you're like, God, I fucking hate this guy. Like, just leave.
He's somewhere really in the middle. He's somewhere in the middle, right? He's not quite – he's not even close to the arrogance of Rodgers, but he's also not goofy like Cousins. He's like somewhere in the – like, he's just a normal guy, and that, like, everybody kind of resonates
with him. Yeah, exactly. He just goes to work, and, he, you know, then also you kind of – another thing you relate with him is that he kind of got fucked out of a job, and then he resurrected his career. Luckily, that the Lions had nobody to throw the ball. You know,
he's the perfect Detroit or Chicago guy. Like, the fans, any fan would. This is our lunch pail guy. This is a guy that's been beaten down, goes to work every day, and just clocks in, clocks out.
If we've ever, I mean, that's why we like Jay Cutler. But if we've ever had a guy even close to that type of just get like. The fucking Bears have been so poor with the quarterbacks. It's just like, God damn it. Just give me a guy that throws 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns for fuck's sake. You know what I mean? But no
chance.
I think
you got that.
I hope I got that. I hope it. I hope it.
So, NBA playoffs, the Clippers are out.
Yeah.
Paul George, I think this was yesterday or maybe a couple days ago, posted himself like jumping off a boat in Cancun. People aren't happy about it.
Why?
Where do you stand on the, oh, he shouldn't be posting stuff this quick after getting kicked out of the playoffs? Like, where do you stand on the vacation shaming athletes? Because we see it every year. We always see the, oh, you can't post this quick, or like, what's the threshold? I never understood or understand that.
First of all, there should be no threshold. What the fuck? It's like, dude, it's called the off season for a reason. You think this guy's going to be in the gym? First of all, the fuck, they just declined his fucking contract. It's not like he's going to be back in LA probably. What the fuck do you want him to do? You want him to go to the facility and be like, hey guys, I'm just going to fucking work out when you guys don't want me? Like, if anyone is the guy that's going to be in Cancun fucking posting pictures, it's him. Like, the guy, he works hard. He plays hard. Yeah, maybe he didn't play overwhelmingly good in the playoffs, but no one on the Clippers did. Harden didn't do shit. Kawhi Leonard played two fucking games. They lost both of them.
Yep.
Like, the guy was one of the more consistent players they had, and it's like, what the fuck do you want him to do? The guy just went up 82 games, had to play a fucking pretty tough playoff series. And now he wants to go chill and be with his family or whoever he's with and just fucking relax for a week before he has to get into all of this contract shit and figure out where he's going to live next year and figure out who he's going to play for next year and see if he's going to get the money he wants and blah, 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 blah. What the fuck do you want the guy to do? Just always think about work. It's like, dude, these guys are humans, even though they make a shitload of money. But like, what do you want him to do? Him putting up 500 jumpers on Tuesday after they lose isn't going to fucking affect anything for what he does next year. There should be no shame at all.
It's crazy to me. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head, but vacation shaming anytime, whether it's you're a pro sports person or you're just a person that goes and fucking clocks into your 9 to 5 every week. Like, I never understand that. If you need a vacation and you earned your vacation, like Paul George did, take your vacation, especially like in the NBA, dude, in all four professional sports, the off season isn't that long. The real off season, what do they get? Like a month of really like not doing shit before they're back in the gym grinding.
It's gotta be something like that. Only,
you know,
for sure. I also think like, who the fuck is anyone? It's like, is it like a thing of like, oh, he doesn't care? It's like, dude, these guys all give a lots of fucks. It doesn't matter if the team wants them there or not. These motherfuckers are out here, for one, playing for their jobs. Two, like, they're not coming to work as a professional. Like, most of these guys don't take it for granted. And when they do once, they end up fucking regretting it. And then all of a sudden they're back. And now you're Andre Drummond, where you're fucking, we're talking to Max Guy, who's now been a backup for the last 7 years. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Dude, like, these guys legitimately care about their team, their guys. Fuck that, dude. Like, that's my thing, is that are people saying, like, oh, he's always in Cancun now. Fucking, he didn't care about winning or losing the series. It's like, or maybe he just has the money to get on a PJ whenever the fuck he wants and go to Cancun anytime he wants. It's not like he had this fucking plan 10 weeks in advance. Like, oh, we're definitely losing the first round. Like, no.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, well, I don't get it. I don't get what the shaming is. Like, I don't understand that.
I think it's the opposite. Like, in Paul George's head, I think it's we just lost a series that we probably shouldn't have in their minds when you have Kawhi, James Harden, and Paul George. And the only thing that you want to do after you lose a series like that, I think, if you care that much about it, is not see a basketball within 400 miles of you. Like, that's how I would think. Like, if I just lost a series that I was like, fuck, we should have went to the Western Conference Finals and been playing, you know, the Nugs or been playing the T-Wolves, I would immediately want to get out of the country too. Like, I would be, you're upset. Like, that's how people cope with things. If you have a shit ton of money and you're able to jump on a PJ and get into a boat, like,
yeah,
hell yeah, I'm going to cope with it that way. Like, I am not going to see a basketball. I'm not interested in it. All I want to do is forget for a month and then let me get back in the gym and go back to work.
I think that's super appropriate, and I think you're right on that. Like, where it's confusing when people can't see that because, for one, they're envious, or two, it's like they're so entwined with pro sports, like, as if they're part of the team or they're part of these guys' lives. It's like, dude, no, that you're not. Like, you're a fan. That's cool. But, like, and I get you're passionate, but it's like, dude, that doesn't mean that you have any say in what these guys do or who they are or what. It's like, they have to live too, and they have, like you said, they have to cope and, you know, kind of relax and think it out and, like, figure their shit out. That's what you get when you're 1% in the world. You get that opportunity to do shit like that. Like, it's just, it is what it is. I'm sorry that we're regular. Like, it, you know, what do you want us to do? Or what, you know, what do you want them to do?
And that's a good point. And by the way, they're not just like a regular guy going off on vacation. Before this vacation, he probably had a million people in his DMs, a million people commenting on shit that you guys fucking blew it. You guys suck. Like, what happened? PG, you didn't show up. Where the hell were you?
Yeah.
That's got to take a toll on you, too.
Oh, I'm sure. I am
like,
sure.
Hell yeah, I want to go on vacation when everybody's telling me I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, dude, like, look at, like, the Pat Bev shit. Like, he ended up reacting, throwing a basketball at a fucking patron. It's like, dude, like, it could escalate. It's because shit like that is getting said to these people all of the time. And it's like, instead of hitting somebody or freaking out, hey, I need to fucking go take a trip. Yep. Seems pretty rational if you ask me.
I agree.
I thought that was
crazy. And I was just looking at the comments. I was like, dude, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, dude, that's like saying, like, a fucking, like, dude, okay, so the guy I used to work for, the owner of my company, he's, like, worth millions and millions of dollars. The dude he owns the fucking yacht, literally owns the yacht, has a team. Motherfucker's on that 50%, like, or 40% of the year. It's like, oh, why isn't he in the fucking gym? Why isn't he fucking, you know, it's like, dude. Because
he already did all that.
Yeah, like, it's like, relax, bro.
He made it.
Yeah. These motherfuckers, they can do that. Let them do that. It is what it is. I wish I can do that. Hopefully I can do that one day. That, you know what I mean? Like, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, and if you're another NBA franchise fan and you think that you don't want Paul George on your team next year because he took a trip to Cancun, you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, silly. Super silly.
But okay, let's dive into the shit that happened on the Pat McAfee show today. So Austin Rivers, like I said earlier, came on the Pat McAfee show. He said, I can take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. Do you agree with Austin Rivers? Where do you sit on this?
No, I don't agree with him at all. I think that I definitely think you can put 30 NBA players in the NFL right now.
Oh, definitely. I agree with that part.
I 1,000% think you can put 30 players from the NFL in the NBA right now.
I agree. They all played both sports.
That's what I'm saying. Most of these guys could have played collegiate basketball.
They all?
Vail? How do you say it?
No, that was... Never mind.
Are you insinuating that he's being racist or...
I was insinuating.
Oh.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
But...
You want me to give you Dan Orlovsky's list on Twitter of the 30 that he thinks NFL guys that could jump into the league, the NBA?
Sure.
All right. Let's read some of these off and we can agree or disagree. DeMarcus Lawrence, freak the end. Dallas okay. Cowboys, probably going to do okay. Devontae Smith, definitely. Yep.
The guy literally is that dude can jump out of the gym. I've seen him dunk. It's insane. Okay.
Yep. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with just his arms, he could probably dunk standing up. DeAndre Hopkins, old, but maybe he played ball.
Yeah, I can see that. See, the weird part about this before you go on is that we got to realize, too, the only thing that we got to realize is that the tallest NBA player or NFL player, or most of them, are guards.
Facts.
In the NBA. So it's like there is something to the height thing, but there Definitely. Are guys. Go on. Sorry.
Hutch, negative. Hutch ain't making an NBA roster. I don't know why he put that in there. Justin Fields, kind of an interesting one.
I could see Justin Fields, yeah, definitely. I can see him being like a point guard.
Just quickness. Maybe he's got handles, kind of like a Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Andrews, I don't see that at all.
I can see Garrett. I can see most tight ends, to be honest with you.
But really?
Yes, 100%.
It would have to be like a weird kind of defensive role, I feel like, for them almost. Like a Mark Andrews isn't going to be flying up and down the
you
floor.
You got to think about this, though.
Catching alley oops.
So if Mark Andrews runs like a 4.8 40, like that is fast as fuck. These guys can run with anybody in the NBA. Dude, the fucking O linemen can run with these guys in the NBA. They're only going up and down 150 feet or whatever it is. It's not like I think you're on like. A tight end, because, dude, those guys are svelte, bro. Like, they're not fat. You know what I mean? Like, they're fucking, like, those guys are comparable to any, probably most small forwards in the league, if not shooting guards. Like, I think a lot of them can dunk. I think a lot of them can fucking shoot a little bit. Like, just size alone, I think they can do some work.
I would agree.
You know what I mean?
Garrett Wilson, I feel like he played ball.
Sure.
Any receiver, I'm just kind of giving the benefit of the doubt.
Me too. That's the
Would
thing.
You agree?
Any receiver over 6'2", I think, can probably make it work, dude. I'm not saying they're going to be pros, but there's no NBA player that's going to be a star in the NFL right now, unless it's LeBron.
What about Mahomes?
I don't know if Mahomes is big enough.
I don't know if Mahomes has... I don't know if Mahomes has the conditioning. That's kind of where it gets weird with quarterbacks. Like, Mahomes is, I don't know if you've ever seen Mahomes, like, without pads on. He's just kind of like a frumpy, like.
Yeah, no, definitely.
He's just kind of tall.
Yeah.
You know?
There's not many. I don't know if Mahomes, but unless he, dude, but the thing is, though, if you're a fucking spot-up shooter, it don't matter. You know what I mean? Like, you don't got to play fucking 45 minutes. You play 30 minutes a game, maybe, and you're just a spot-up fucking guy in the corner.
You know who I'd like to see that's on this list on a basketball court would be Cooper Kupp.
Oh, he's
Cooper
white.
Kupp pre-injury.
Smack threes. Yeah, dude, come on.
I'd love to see like Cooper Kupp take Klay Thompson's place on that Warriors team and get dishes from Steph all game and literally not shoot anything but corner threes.
Yeah, I you know who, not I'm sure they're on the list, at least one of them, but like, dude, David Njoku, I'm sure he would ball.
He wasn't on the list.
So, dude, David Njoku, I'm pretty sure was like a D1 fucking basketball player, first of all. And Jimmy Graham was like a D1. Like those two guys.
Jimmy Graham played at Miami, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. No, for
TD. Played basketball. Yeah. So, yeah, the tight ends are definitely like.
But, dude, like.
I think Kelce would do.
I think Kelce would fare well. I don't know if he could. Like, the thing is, these guys got to be able to have a jumper. Because I think their feet are good enough. I think their speed is good enough. I think they can all jump a little bit. It's if they can play a little D And if they have any bit of a jumper, I think that they can compete. Their athleticism is through the roof. They're faster than most fucking most professional athletes. You know what I mean? You know what I didn't like about this whole situation?
What's that?
Was the gross oversimplification that Austin Rivers was like, oh, you guys just catch a ball and run. Are you fucking kidding me? He's like, you get a break every play. Are you fucking kidding me, dude? Like,
yeah, that's,
even
is, you're bro, right. That's, my that's thing an is insult like, to NFL players
so,
everywhere.
I would feel like a lot of NFL players or NBA players, they would assume that they'd play some sort of receiving role, right? Receiver or tight end or maybe like a fucking, I don't know, like an edge rusher. That's kind of where I would put that. Because they're all too big to be running backs. I mean, unless any of them are just quarterback material, but I doubt that. But dude, like even being able to run a good route, like you're talking about professional cornerbacks that if you don't fucking get out of your route and get in your route properly, you're getting bodied every time. Like it's so much timing. Like what? It's disgusting how, like, I think the concept of, oh, getting this ball in that hole is honestly easier than, oh, hey, we got to score a touchdown. We got to get across the goal line.
Right.
Like conceptually, right? Or am I wrong on that?
No, I agree. The and don't get me wrong, and obviously you know this too. There's a million different little intricacies about basketball. If just listen to listen to that LeBron and JJ Redick interview. You can hate on LeBron as much as you want. I do.
Yeah.
But if you listen to LeBron talk about basketball, it is fascinating. Yes. The way that he sees the game, it's complete. You're like, this is basketball? Yep. I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's insane.
But NFL is that times five, I would think.
Yeah, because there's fucking double the people on the fucking court or on the field. And you have a finite number of times you can do something until you have to give the ball up before you even get another chance to score. Like, dude, you can steal a ball and dunk it on a fast break. There's very few times. I mean, I guess a pick six, but let me tell you what, there's a lot more fast break points than a pick sixes in the fucking league. Like, there's so many. There's like, that's the thing that pissed me off the most. Cause I think they're all interchangeable, dude. They're pro athletes. I'm sure you can get some soccer players in the fucking NFL or even in the NBA. Like
for sure.
Also, too, another thing is, remember when Usain Bolt was running? They predicted his fucking 40 time was like a 3.9.
Yeah.
Where it's like, there's a reason why that guy's not getting a call to be on the NFL, in the NFL. Because everyone's like, whoa, just sign him and have him run straight and throw the ball. It's like, dude, yeah, go for it. See how fucking well that works. It doesn't mean shit. Like, just because you're athletic doesn't mean a goddamn thing. So
he'll get schemed right out of the game.
Exactly. And it's like, dude, that's my thing is the size would definitely be very beneficial, but there's no 7-footer in the NBA that can play in the NFL. Not a single one of them. Unless they're playing offensive line, and I don't think any of them are big enough, like wide enough to do so.
Yeah, they wouldn't have that. Embiid. And it's almost too tall where you don't have the leverage.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's not a single 7-footer in the league that can do it. I can't think of one.
No.
Unless they're maybe, I don't know.
Imagine Jokic at left tackle.
Oh, well, I mean, that guy can't fucking move his goofy ass fucking. But like an Embiid who is just so dominant. Like, but it's like, what is he going to do in the NFL? Literally nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing. Because guess what? Sauce Gardner's going to fucking lock his ass up and he's not going to catch a single fucking ball.
Yeah, he ain't running a route as a tight end.
That's what I'm saying. He's getting bodied. There's nowhere for him to play. It's the guys like the small forwards. Any guard really could probably, play a slot or a cornerback or something like that. But there's not many linebackers in the NBA and there's not many fucking linemen. There's maybe some edge rushers and I think skill players on the outsides. That's, unless you got guys who are good enough to throw and be a quarterback, which I you never know. Like, because there are guys like LeBron who are cerebral enough that I think could figure it out, but, could they throw the ball? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's an interesting conversation. I know it's weird that Austin Rivers would come out and say that. That's a bold fucking take, unless he was looking to make headlines today, but.
Which he did.
Which he did.
So. Yeah, I didn't watch the second half of I watched a little bit of it, but the fact that he was so like, oh, football is just a bunch of meatheads. It's like, dude, yeah, there's a lot of headbanging around, but like, come on, man. Like, that's, it was just, it's just surprising to see such a pro's pro. Like, Austin Rivers was never like a phenomenal pro. He was always just fucking plug and play. He was always there. He put his dick out there. He was super, very try hard type of thing. Yeah. Good NBA player.
You'd think he'd respect the other side of the game.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, it's like he would respect the other sports as if it was like, because they are mutual, I think. But I don't know. I thought that was a little bit insane.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else?
No, you got me fired up about that Austin Rivers thing. That shit bothered me this morning when I saw it. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
We actually started with Jack getting fired up. Then I got fired up. And then we're ending with you being fired up.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't hate it. Hopefully everyone listened long enough to fucking hear our stupid opinions.
Episode 114 was a spicy one. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back next week. Maybe we'll do a draft next week.
Yeah, I was over here rushing Jack for nothing, for him to say seven words. I need to get this guy's fucking, I need to hear him talk a little more. We got to stop talking sports so we can get Big Daddy Long Legs into the conversation.
Well, yeah, we don't do sports that often anymore.
No, yeah, you're right.
And now we're getting into silly season here where we can't watch the Tigers, so we're not going to be talking about baseball.
Fucking summertime shy, baby. We about to be talking about it a lot. Come on.
Yeah, we're just going to be booling.
Let's go.
We're going to be on the yacht with PG. But okay. Episode 114 is a wrap. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week. Peace.